Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, made for the people who power you as healthcare. I am Molly Gamble at Becker's, and today, delighted to have the chance to catch up with Stephen Carson. Steve is the Senior Vice President for Population Health with Temple University Health System. Steve, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for being my returning guest today. How are you doing, and where does the podcast find you?
Thanks for having me back. The podcast finds me in a very busy place. This is an extraordinarily busy time of the year, preparing for next year, taking a look how successful or not successful we were in the prior year. Everything in my world is in calendar year, so we're going back retrospectively looking at calendar year 23 and how we can improve it for 2024. So it's just a busy time for us. Thank you for inviting me back again.
All the more grateful for you making time to do the podcast and be our guest, Steve. You know, for listeners who need a refresher on Temple University Health System and its Center for Population Health and your role within it, can you share an overview of both the center and your work?
Certainly. So the Center for Population Health has been a strategic asset for Temple Health related to our value-based care agreements. So we focus on several different processes. We look at how we manage our value-based care agreements, and we have a whole strategic asset group and that management, which includes our primary care network, our care management programs, our hospital and skilled facility networks, and also our quality programs, because all those things tie together to really help manage our population health value-based care agreements. Because technically, when we look at what we do within the center, we do population health management. How do we apply those tools that really focus on performance improvement within that group from both a quality and cost perspective? So the asset also focuses on community and community resources and outreach. We spend a great deal of our work focused on social determinants of health and helping support our patients, not only in our value-based care agreements, but our patients globally for Temple Health around food, housing, medical legal partnerships, and other resources that we can help patients to be successful once they're discharged or in the care of one of our primary care specialty physicians.
And Steve, you mentioned this is a busy time. This is also a time for listeners, as I'm sure they're seeing, that we're starting to get and we're continuing to get more data about how health systems fared throughout COVID-19 as it relates to a number of metrics around care quality, patient safety, even the workforce. And I wanted to spend some time there because you mentioned care quality, and just get a sense of your priorities right now in those improvement efforts. I know last month, CMS released a report finding some disparities in care quality in the hospitals, pre and during pandemic, finding a number of measures had worse than expected performance. We knew these hits were coming. This was not an easy time for health systems to be operating. What have been some of your biggest takeaways about quality improvement efforts pre and post pandemic? Where have you been focusing most of your time as of late?
Great question, and thank you. Lots to unpack there. So when you looked at the CMS report, things were really focused on the inpatient networks, inpatient care delivery metrics, infection prevention, readmissions, things of that nature. And I think from a Temple perspective, we have led with quality pre and post COVID. It has been our primary rubric. And we've been fortunate in that we have been very successful before, during, and even after COVID. We've seen our quality metrics actually improve over the course of the last 4 to 5 years. And that's really been a focus. We have an A rating, if you will, for health grades. I think that's really important. We've been identified as a 2024 patient safety excellence top performer. So we have always led with quality, which is really important to understand. But really, to go back to your question, where are those areas that slid somewhat during COVID? And that you really saw a lot of that during the period of time where offices from an ambulatory care perspective really closed down. And then as a result of that, the pivot to telehealth and also the measures related to health screenings really declined. Mammography, colorectal screening, those measures were required the in-person touching. So you saw some of that backslide over the course of the year. And we've really seen in our quality improvement efforts and building our quality infrastructure, we've seen our most improvement in those areas over the past 2 years, to be honest with you. And today, in some of our larger payers, we have finally moved the needle and really helping us to be a four-star, star measure from a Medicare perspective. We've seen our HEDIS scores go up and improve over the last several years because offices are back open. People are feel comfortable going back into the practice again, and then actually feel comfortable going to radiology departments to get their mammographies and to, get the colorectal screening, whether it's in the office, pick up a fit kit, or actually having the colonoscopy itself. So people are feeling more confident in going back into the office. So I think that that's where you saw some backsliding in the ambulatory care environment because it was difficult to do some of this work without the inpatient touch. Telehealth took us to a certain degree, but didn't really, help in other areas which require the high level of touch. So when you ask where our priorities were, mm-hmm. I think our priorities over the last 2 years has really been building that infrastructure. We've always had a core of quality on the ambulatory care side, and what we've done is expanded that core, expanded the cadence of the work that we're doing with our providers and how we actually engage our providers. And I think that that's really important, providing them the data they needed to be able to understand how to close those gaps in care and help them be able to be successful in that quality outcome. And as we have continued to do that, we've added a chief medical officer to our programming, which is really critically important. Sometimes that physician-to-physician communication is much different than a physician to a nurse or even a physician to a quality project manager. So that has been really helpful for us to be able to build that engagement with our providers as well. So we've seen improvement there. So our investments have really been how to expand that quality management infrastructure. So mm-hmm. we've spent a lot of time there around it, focused on what we need to do to be able to manage our work.
Mm-hmm. I'm remembering from our last conversation, when we last connected for the podcast, there's a through line here because we spent some time in that conversation talking about televisits as a tool and technology enabled care as a tool, but really how much of your work and strategy rests upon, like you said, that primary care touchstone and those in-person care appointments. Can you share any success stories or case studies with us, Steve, where embedding caregivers has really resulted in some notable improvements, either in patient outcomes or experiences? We spoke about embedding caregivers last time, and I'm just curious if there was a story you could share with us in greater detail about that.
Yeah, I think thank you for asking that question. I think that's really a good point about the embedding of our nurse navigators. That has been really a critical tool for us. That the nurse navigator has been the person who's been that connection point between the provider and the patient, and really driving many of the care management strategies with the patient and following up on the care that they may need, whether it's a resource or whether it's they need a community health worker to help follow through on a particular application for a service that they may need. So we've been seeing a tremendous amount of success around the use of these embedded care managers. And what you see with this group over time, you've seen improvement of our readmission rates. You've seen a reduction in unplanned admissions because there's that open line of communication between the provider, the member, the patient, and the nurse navigator that's working in concert with the physician in the office and working in concert with the patient from a telecommunication standpoint. The patient is more engaged because they now know that person who's on the other end of the phone. It's not just a random anonymous voice making that phone call. That they've met that person in the office at some point in time, so there's a connection. So I think that we've seen that, and that was a strategic change for us. We had a 100% telehealth model when it came to nurse navigation. So when we flipped that last year, it was really, we did it with the knowledge that we wanted to engage both our physicians as well as the patients differently. And I see that playing out in our overall outcomes when we look at patient experience. Are they satisfied? Are they following through on their transition of care? So we're seeing lots of improvement around that, and we've seen nice member satisfaction scores as a result of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's a pretty remarkable shift to go from 100% telehealth model for nurse navigation to now the in-person, and then reaching those results that you just shared with us about readmissions and unplanned admissions going down, and just the utilization rates, the fact that those relationships are something that patients are returning to.
No, agreed. And I think that that's been really a nice transition back into the practice because now there's something, they now have something different to look forward to have that different relationship in the office. And we've spent a lot of time engaging like all levels of the office. So it's that experience, just not the navigator, it's the person at the front desk, it's the person who's roving the patient and, engaging them. I think the one thing that I wanted to add when we look at projects, I wanted to go back on something because I think this all ties in together with this in-person navigator in the office, is that we have been tremendously focused around the social determinants of health. We have been screening patients for a long time around those social determinants, looking at things like housing and food, transportation, because they're the things that people struggle with to come back into the office. And our program for screening also has led us to focus on different areas of health disparities, not only from a social determinant perspective, but also from an access perspective. Focus, we are part of the ACO REACH pilot with CMS. In ACO REACH, you have a health, you have a health equity plan that you have to be able to develop. And we've chosen hypertension about how our Black and Brown communities access services for hypertension and being able to give them resources within our hypertensive group from a telehealth perspective, because we are using remote patient monitoring in those cases, and that's been also successful. So now you've tied together that nurse navigator in the office, you've addressed social determinants, you're looking at a health disparity, and you're now continuing to engage the physician and the patient. So I think that all those things kind of tie together in the end. So I think they're, when you look at where we spend our time, quality and that level of engagement with our patient membership has really been critically important for us. And that change with the nurse navigators has been extraordinarily beneficial.
And social determinants of health, you mentioned housing, food, transportation. I mean, these require partnerships at the Temple Center for Population Health. Can you highlight one partner relationship that you found particularly effective, Steve, and tell us why that is?
In thinking about it, there's a couple partnerships I'm going to outline for you briefly because I think that those will really help you understand where we are organizationally. And I think that, we're in North Philadelphia, where Temple main campus is and where our Episcopal campus is, which is a behavioral health location. There's a strong homelessness patient population, and there's also a high, like all of us in the country are experiencing, high opioid use disorders, individuals. So between homelessness and opioid use disorder patients, there's really, they're complex. They're complex because they may have wounds. They're complex because there's nowhere to place them. And often our, acute care hospital leadership are always struggling with, how to move the patient along a continuum of care when their continuum doesn't really exist. So, we have partnered with a group called Project Home in Philadelphia. They've been in the homelessness arena for over 30 years, creating respites and housing. And those programs have really been helpful to place patients in the community. So we are working with Project Home, and we're also working as part of a project with them with other health systems in the Philadelphia marketplace, Penn and Jefferson, in a gift that was provided by Pam Estet and Ira Lubert to help us design a program and a process in which we address opioid use disorder through substance use programming, as well as identifying and building, if you will, respite to temporary housing that will lead to permanent housing. So that's a fairly significant project. And that really started with us with a project we called Housing Smart, where we took a small group of patients who were homeless, substance use disorder, placed them in housing. And we were able to identify that by stabilizing housing, stabilizing medical care, you saw a reduction in inappropriate utilization of the emergency room. You saw a slight reduction around in acute care admissions because some of those acute care admissions were social. Some of them were actually required based on clinical conditioning. So when I say you saw a slight reduction, maybe it was 10% as compared to ED, you saw a 75% reduction in utilization. So we knew that the process was worked, and we collaborated with Project Home to be able to begin this process. So we're very early in that journey in order to be able to create access to a very complex patient population who has complex needs, and housing is a key part of that programming. And so I think that, you know, that's a huge effort on our part at this point in time. And the other area that's unique and innovative that we're doing is really around a health hub. We have collaborated with a local supermarket, ShopRite, in our community, and we've placed a health screening hub in the supermarket near the entrance. You walk into the supermarket. So we have the ability to screen patients for hypertension. We have the stroke awareness, brain health. We have pharmacists there who are doing medication education. We have a diabetes program. And we put that programming all around that health hub, which is linked to a mobile health vehicle that actually goes out to the community. So that programming that we're offering in the hub actually goes out into the community. And the sole purpose is really about, you know, helping, you know, hypertension, as I mentioned earlier, is such a huge condition in our community. And when you tie that to diabetes and smoking, it also ties a high risk of stroke. When you look at all those pieces together, our job here is really to help screen and help people get into care before they're in the condition of having a stroke, so how to manage it. So we're using that health hub, our mobile health, as another way to be able to screen, create access, and create the ability to follow up care. So when I look at, you know, so I see that as pretty innovative as far as how we're creating that level of access for our community here in North Philadelphia. So combined with the two of those, a critical clinical need in our community and being innovative around access are probably some of the two biggest projects when I look at partnerships and relationships in the work that we do.
I think too, you just illustrated so wonderfully, Steve, how interconnected so many of these health outcomes and behaviors are. And so this work, it's difficult and it's challenging, but such meaningful work to be able to meet patients and then also hit the levers and meet their needs in different ways that can contribute upstream to the downstream health effects that would bring them into the ED or other care settings like that. So thank you so much for sharing that in greater detail with us. It's been so great catching up with you today, Steve. Is there anything you'd like to close with our listeners or share with them in closing?
Yeah, I think as we think about the work that we're doing from a population health management perspective, I really think that combination of quality care management and access to community resources have really been a vital function and also vital to our success and helping our patients achieve their goals. So when I look at that and I look at the world in which we live in, I think those are really three key areas that as people look at population health and population health management strategies, they're areas that they could be successful in.
Steve Carson, Senior Vice President for Population Health with Temple University Health System. Thank you again, Steve, for returning to the podcast and being my guest today.
Thank you for having me.